While the environment was not pivotal in the election campaigns, environmental issues will be in the next Congress. With majority control of both the House and Senate, Republicans are better positioned to influence policy ranging from air quality to oil and gas development in the Arctic. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
It wasn't so much hand-wringing that was going on at the headquarters of major environmental groups the day after the election, but more a collective digging in.
We're going to probably have a pretty busy year.
Greg Whetstone is the advocacy director for the Natural Resources Defense Council.
It was already pretty busy in terms of dealing with all the agencies, and now the laws themselves may well be under siege.
Looking ahead at a firmer GOP grip on Capitol Hill, Whetstone predicts a continued whittling away of environmental protections, not just through the regulatory process, but more publicly on the House and Senate floor. His concern, and indeed the concern of most environmentalists interviewed the day after the election, are attempts to weaken major laws, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act.
My fear is that once again, we're fighting to keep from moving backward, and we do end up with high-profile battles over just trying to protect our landmark environmental laws.
Not so fast, says Jerry Taylor, environmental policy expert at the libertarian Cato Institute. Taylor points out that major changes in policy or new legislation to drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, for example, require enough votes to defeat a filibuster. And the GOP's new majority falls well short of that.
For the Republican Party to effectively launch an offensive on the environmental front, they would need close to 60 votes locked up. They're a far cry from having that.
Still, control of key environmental committees will pass to members with strong pro-development records. For example, in the Senate, the chairmanship of the Environment and Public Works Committee will pass from environmental champion Jim Jeffords of Vermont to Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe, an oil industry ally with a rating of zero from the League of Conservation Voters. And environmental policy is also set by the appropriations process, just how much money is given to the agencies to enforce protections. And those budget votes can't be filibustered. Nevertheless, Taylor says the environmental community is overreacting to boost membership and fundraising.
So the environmental lobby has every incentive to tell its constituents that the big bad wolf is at the door and ready to rip up the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, Superfund, and so that's not too surprising. But the reality is that Republicans have very little stomach for environmental fights, and whenever they've gotten engaged in them, they generally back off rather quickly.
Sierra Club Executive Director Carl Pope finds little consolation in Taylor's assessment. Pope says even if Republicans learned a lesson from the high-profile environmental failures of the Gingrich Republican majority in 94, he's still worried about low-profile attacks on the process.
I expect them to try to limit judicial review of what they do, to try to keep information hidden, reduce citizen opportunity to influence. I think we're going to see a persistent, well-planned assault to take the American people out of environmental policy.
But asked what the environmental community should be most worried about, Pope didn't say a GOP attack on the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge or on a citizen's right to know, but rather votes, simply getting more like-minded people to the polls on the next election day. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Seattle.